T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sarah Hodges, CBS 13, going to join us later on this hour. Kyle Mattson right after that coming up at 2:15. And then our man Matt George, host of the Locked On Kings podcast, of course, reporter over at ABC 10. He'll be with us in the final.
It's Batty Thursday.
Indeed.
Shirts need to be made for Batty Thursday.
I agree.
I'd wear a Batty Thursday shirt.
What would that look like?
Just hashtag Batty Thursday.
Okay.
Black shirt, white words, or white shirt, black word, Batty. That's all you need to do. Hashtag Batty Thursday. They know what it is. D'Lo and Casey right underneath it.
I'm with it.
Or on the sleeve, you know, you get
fancy. I like that. We put the logo on the sleeve of the Will Z merch. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's slick.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
slick
that's
right
a good
there.
Look too. Hey, so.
By the way, our merch store is still open, DLoandKC.com.
It is. We about to turn that back up. I was thinking
are
about
we?
That.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Every time you say that, it costs me about $600.
See, that's what I say. I hope so.
I think Don just started salivating. Dave Garcia Designs was like, oh, are we now?
Actually, we got all the stuff, except for Batty Thursday. We'll create that. We got all the stuff already there. We just, you know, just don't forget about it. Like, we got to get out there.
Create some sales.
There's one other thing that I think we need.
Okay.
We do need trucker hats.
You know, we had those up. I think the thing with the trucker hats were, did you have a trucker hat or was it
just a regular snapback?
Because I think
I wore it the other day.
I don't know that you screen print on those. I think they get stitched.
Mm.
So that kind of, it limits it a little bit. But we could, hey, we work for you. That's what we'll do. Yeah. Y'all want hats? Get hats. Will Z wanted women's tees. We'll get some women's tees, mate. We're gonna get all that stuff.
Jazz wanted some zip-ups. Jazz and Bryson wanted zip-ups. They got them.
We did make the tri-blend zip-ups, which Bryce complains about every day. Like, some of y'all, like, want me to create this stuff where, like, one of them will be sold. And it's like, all right, I got my one. And then it's like they just sit there clogging the website, never get, you know, literally no one ever buys them. The tri-blend sold pretty well. I'll try to create the heavier ones. I know some people wanted the heavier ones. But I also, like, and I've told you this before, I just refuse to put trash merch. There was a steep learning curve with this website.
Mm.
And we want you to have D'Lo and Casey gear that you could rock for a long time. Like the premium tees, like we don't have every t-shirt in a premium tee. Mm. Those premium tees are dope. Yeah. Like I have pulled the Corners of the Culture one with Herc.
Uh-huh.
And I just wound up not wearing it, but I was like, man, this is a great t-shirt.
I like it. I got a list for a new order.
Oh, good. That's great.
It's right here. It's right here on my computer. I got a list. But so the question that I asked you, Steve Kerr is coming up on 1 year left on his contract. Mm-hmm. He walks into the office. He says, Joe. Did you hear the news, the Monty Williams news? Did you see what he got?
Hey, Joe, Bob ain't here no more, dog. Ain't no buffer between us.
He probably, Joe, you know, I don't know if I want to be here anymore, Joe. Mm. I don't know. I mean, Bob's gone. You may be losing everything if you lose me, like, unless.
Then you know what else I would do? I'd grab my phone and play the sound. Remember when you said money ain't a factor? I would just play the clip like, and it would play. Yeah, but money's not a factor. We're gonna win. We're gonna win.
Right. That changes everything. Or is this like a Rudy Gobert trade market situation, which the trade market really hasn't reset itself? But are people like, come on, man, that's not that's not a real contract. Like, you can't hold me. Like, Joe Lacob telling us, you can't hold me to that contract. I'm going to pay you fairly, but you can't hold me to that contract.
I got you. Just a quick note on what you just said right there. Throw tomatoes at me if you want to, but how similar was the Rudy Gobert trade and the Kevin Durant trade?
They're very similar. But it was all. But
I understand it's Kevin Durant, but
this is Steve Kerr.
So that's
it's that.
Wow! It just dawned on me. You just called Monty Williams Rudy Gobert. Cold world, man. Well, damn shame.
Well,
who needs the man when you got?
I like Monty. I like Rudy. Well, I don't know if I like Rudy. I don't. Not
you do
like
not
Rudy.
Like. Literally, no one likes Rudy Gobert.
I don't not like Rudy. It's just, he's whatever.
To your point, though, whew, I don't think so. I don't think it resets the market. Mm. But I don't say that with a ton of confidence. Mm-hmm. Because if I am Steve Kerr, this is exactly what I point to. It's 100% what I point to. I point directly at Monty Williams' contract.
Yeah.
Like, Monty Williams got a difficult situation in Detroit.
Yeah.
I've got a difficult situation here at Golden State.
Yeah.
It's a different type of difficult, but they're both difficult. Mm. I don't know how many people can do it. I don't know how many coaches can do it. Steve Kerr can do it, though.
Kerr can do it.
Like Doc can't. Spo could do it, but I don't think Spo would. I don't think Eric Spoelstra cares.
No, I don't think he would either. Mike Malone. Mike Malone's actually coming up on a contract, I think. Not this offseason. I think next offseason. I think. I could be wrong.
Michael Malone.
He don't like when people call Mike?
Could. I don't think that he does. Wasn't that the sideline reporter thing when the young lady said, Mike, and he said, Michael.
He signed an extension recently, so it'd be till the end of the 24-25 season for Michael Malone.
Okay. So he's got 2 years on there.
But you know what, coaches, this isn't the end. These aren't play. You could tear that contract up anytime. Yeah. Again, there's no CBA stuff here at play. You could tear that contract up anytime you want to.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Like you said,
now maybe
not
it's
a lot
different.
To do that.
Maybe in a week and a half or 2 weeks, it's different. Mm-hmm. At this exact moment, fair or unfair, I don't know that I'd put Michael Malone there.
Man, that's crazy. You're
He's
right.
the closest. You know, Eric Spoelstra and Michael Malone, the two coaches in the finals are probably the closest. I can't think of another one.
Yeah, no,
Michael Malone's
right.
got to be venturing on one of the longest tenured coaches in the league at this point.
You're right. There's not a lot of coaches who can do this.
Is it different because it's a really bad team? Like the Nuggets, I don't think, have to offer something like that. Like the Warriors don't, because you already have good players. So I'm sure coaches would want to come to you. Like Detroit was desperate.
Well, that's what the guy who has to sign the check would say. Michael Malone's agent doesn't have to say that. Mm. Steve Kerr's agent doesn't have to say that. It's like, hey, you see that?
Hey, and look, you brought up, you tongue in cheek, but you're right. Steve Kerr will have Lacob's quote on a loop.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk to me about money or the too much. Like, you said money's not an option.
Yep.
Give me what I want. He should have never said. Everybody in that organization
we're
is
gonna win no matter what.
Everybody in that organization is gonna be like, I don't want to hear about money. Obviously, the coaching thing doesn't have to do with the cap, but like, I don't want to hear about that. Like, give me what I'm owed.
Pop, Spo, and Michael Malone, are those the three longest tenured coaches in the league?
Sounds about right.
Because it's not, I mean, Pop's obviously one. I gotta imagine Spo is second.
Yeah.
And then I feel like it's got to Kerr. I mean, I guess it's Kerr, I guess Kerr's before Michael Malone.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. That sounds about right. That's crazy. That's a crazy profession too.
Yeah.
My man in Memphis, maybe 4 years.
Mm.
That's not that long, but maybe he's the next longest tenured. Terry Stotts was in Portland for a long time, but he's gone now.
He's gone. Yeah, the turnover is wild. Just looking at, like, Milwaukee, Boston, like, Brad isn't there anymore. Philly changed. Cleveland changed. Thibodeau's been there a few years. Brooklyn's changed. Atlanta's changed multiple times. Then you got Spo in Miami. Billy Donovan's been there a couple of years. Toronto doesn't have a head coach right now. Indiana just changed. Washington.
Scotty Brooks still?
Scotty Brooks isn't their head coach. Scotty Brooks. Is it Wes?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Unsell.
Charlotte, Detroit. I mean, and then there's Michael Malone. There's your boy Taylor Jenkins.
Taylor Jenkins.
Ty Lue, and then Steve Kerr. Yeah, man, that's it. That's it.
The other crazy thing about the Greg Popovich on that position is the successful coaches that lose their job.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it when I think Monty Williams was fired from Phoenix, and for the last 5-6 years outside of Thibodeau, all the coach of the years mm-hmm. have been are gone or on different teams.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I there is also a part of me that likes Detroit being committed to a coach, because unless it's like really hostile and toxic, I think, you know, give these guys an opportunity to turn this thing around. That's quietly, it's kept, that's kind of what Denver has done. There could have been times when Denver could have moved on from Michael Malone.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Yeah.
He was Budenholzer before Budenholzer.
Yeah. And they didn't. You know, they stayed with it for one reason or another. They stayed with it. And look where it's got him now. So
Mike Budenholzer has a 6.04 win percentage.
Jeez.
His last handful. But oh, by the way, I was talking to Matt George last week. And he brought up the coach of the year thing, and you mentioned Thibodeau. We found the loophole. For those who were worried about Mike Brown, we found the loophole.
Okay.
So Tom Thibodeau got coach of the year, was fired. Mike Brown got coach of the year, was fired with their previous teams.
Mm.
The loophole is, once you get coach of the year with your new team, you're set. Tom Thibodeau, coach of the year with the New York Knicks. He good. Mike Brown, one coach of the year with the Cleveland Cavaliers, was fired shortly afterwards.
Yeah.
Coach of the year with the Sacramento Kings.
He's good now.
He good to go.
Okay.
Those are the rules.
Mike Brown ain't going nowhere, man.
Well, I'm
he
just
got
saying,
championships to win, man.
We've looked it up. Those are clearly the rules in this coach of the year thing. Yeah, like Mike, you were talking about good coaches being fired. Like Mike Budenholzer, 58, 51, 46, 56, 60. Mm. Last season in Atlanta was 24-58, then 43, 48, 60. First season with Atlanta was 38-44. Man. It's incredible, man. Incredible.
Oh, man.
He's missed the playoffs once. He made the playoffs at 38-44. He's missed the playoffs once, and it was his last year in Atlanta when they were 24-58.
Man.
Wow.
That's a trip.
It's a cold game, man. Cold game.
But for them prices, sign me up.
Sign me up. Yeah, I'll do it. You can fire me if you want to. We'll come back. I had mentioned the arc of the Denver Nuggets, how it really is, and it ties in perfectly to what you just said about Michael Malone and how there were rumblings of his demise on numerous occasions. Well, the arc of that team is extremely compelling leading into tonight's game and should be very exciting for Sacramento Kings fans. We'll explain when dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino. Get in on the action, Sky River Casino. Is the place to play with over 2,000 of the newest slot machines in over 80 table games. Sky's the limit if you're 21 and over at Sky River Casino. It's Steve and Casey here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Continues streaming live on the Odyssey app.
Check out the latest episode of Corners of the Culture wherever you get podcasts from. You can check out Kenny and I's conversation with Ty Dolla $ign.
Dolla $ign.
Again, that's available on the Odyssey app. It's available on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts from. And it's a short episode. It's about a 10-15 minute conversation. And then you can use the rest of your time to catch up on past episodes of the Corners of the Culture podcast. If you missed our conversation about the impact of the Arsenio Hall show, check that out. We've had some really, really good conversations recently, especially since the Dope Ones has joined the hosting panel. Really, really good stuff over there. We're very proud of that podcast. We hope you'll give it a chance. Search Corners of the Culture wherever you get podcasts from. And if you have a split second, because that's all it takes, give us a 5-star rating. If you've got about 30 seconds to leave a review, that would be terrific, man. That stuff goes a long way. Sarah Hodge is going to be with us this hour. Kyle Mattson after that. Matt George, final hour of the show. NBA Finals get underway with coverage beginning at 4:30 today here on ESPN 1320. The Denver Nuggets, the Miami Heat. Lots of talk about coaches and coaching with the news of Monty Williams, 6-year, $78.5 million. You know what the other funny part about that story unfolding last night was? Normally when Shams has a story and he gets it, like, Woj just leaves it alone. Well, like 45 minutes later, Woj tweeted, Monty Williams has signed a contract with the Detroit Pistons, 6 years, and I think he had a different dollar figure, which why he might have decided to go that route. But I just thought that was funny because it was just very, very, like, everyone was already talking about it at that point. And then he tweeted it, and I legit, like, gave a puppy dog look at my phone, like, what?
I think it was a dollar figure thing because Shams had 72 and then Woj came up with 78.
Yeah, so I think Woj was like, I own this. Yeah,
you didn't get this right, pal. Well, that battle's going to last forever.
By the way, lock into D'Lo and KC this free agency period because we've got you covered. We've got you covered this free agency
period.
Don't
forget what happened last year.
We've got you covered indeed.
Ironically, don't forget what happened a couple years ago. I was breaking news.
You were long before D'Lo and KC. Yeah,
so there was nobody out there, man. I had a couple scoops. Mm-hmm. Couple scoops.
You did.
That was a wild time.
I think you were blocked back then, too, because I didn't see it, but I don't know why I always like your tweets never your tweets never appear on my timeline, and I don't know why. Like I purposely heart retweet stuff so you stay a part of the algorithm. I don't know why that's
crazy, bro. You're on my timeline a lot, man.
Kenny tweets after dark a lot too. You might be asleep most of the time.
Okay. That too. I feel like you said that as a joke, but that's probably true.
No, like it's a joke, but like I'm pretty sure like that might be the case.
Out here tweeting at 8:45. I'm gonna do with that. So lots of talks about coaching is a central figure of the NBA Finals. It's a central storyline to this Finals tonight because you got a guy like Eric Spoelstra, established, been with the Miami Heat a long time. You've got, you know, Michael Malone, and despite the fact he's probably, I think we did the math, he's probably the fourth longest tenured coach in the league behind Pop Spo and Steve Kerr. He's a guy who, part of his story, unfortunately, is what he went through here in Sacramento. That's a component that's not a part of Eric Spoelstra's story. But when you look at, and then as Kenny, you outlined there a minute ago, talking about, you know, there were rumblings at times that the Denver Nuggets were going to move on from Michael Malone. There was, you know, those off-season content about, hey, what coach is on the hot seat entering the season? Michael Malone's name has been on that list at times, and this is a credit to the Denver Nuggets, one, for staying the course, and it's a credit to Michael Malone for ignoring all that, continuing his vision, continuing his work, you know, with this team. Yeah. And, man, I think we have drawn this comparison a lot, but I think the Denver Nuggets are such a fascinating model for the Sacramento Kings to follow.
And one of the things you talk about, people, you know, calling for his job. I wasn't calling for his job, but I was definitely one of those people that was like, yo, Mike Malone got to do something this year.
Yeah.
You know, they got to advance at least to the conference finals. And they stuck with him. They let him coach that team the way he wants to coach them.
Mm-hmm.
And they've shown that success. And I do, when you talk about the parallels with the Kings, I do believe that we could see the same thing here, because it seems like that's what they allow Mike Brown to do here in Sacramento. They allow him to coach that team the way he sees fit. Mm-hmm. The players seem to respond to him. And there's the one thing that a lot of people don't talk about with Denver is there's a good amount of cohesion there. Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, mm-hmm. Jokic, these guys have been together for 3-4 years now. Now, I know Murray missed the season because of an injury. But I think they got Aaron Gordon, I think the bubble season, or maybe it was after the bubble season. But Murray and Jokic have been together going on five years now, mm-hmm. or something like that. So there's a level of cohesion.
I mean, even Michael Porter.
Michael Porter was
a part of that. Yeah. You know, he was a part of that draft too.
So they gave it time, not only with the coach, but with the core of that team. And they added pieces around there with KCP and Bruce Brown. Jeff Green's been there for a little bit now as well. So one of the things that has me excited about this Kings team is they have a level of cohesion, closeness, togetherness after year one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just feel like they're going to only get better the more they get comfortable with each other. They know each other's games. They learn each other's game more and more. I think they're committed to having these guys together. That's why, going back for a previous conversation we had with Harrison Barnes and whether he comes back and what they want to do at that small forward position, that's why I said I feel like this is the summer where you make that decision. Because all these guys are going to be here for a while. Like, they're not, unless you're trading people, which I don't really see. Fox is under contract in here for a while, and you're probably going to want to sign him to a new one.
Yeah.
Sabonis, you're probably going to sign him to a long-term deal next year.
Hopefully,
Keegan Murray is a rookie.
Yeah.
Kevin Herter's here for another 3 years, I think. Malik mm-hmm. Monk, you only got him for one more year locked up, but you want to bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
There's only, these guys are going to be together for 2-3 years, mm-hmm. like we've seen Denver right now.
Mm-hmm.
The only spot where you would be making that change is if you move on from Harrison Barnes. But if you don't, Harrison's probably going to be here for another 3 years. So you're going to have an opportunity to build that cohesion with this group. And we've seen how it's worked for Denver.
Yeah, you mentioned, and this is the, I think this is one of the, you know, components of this, of growth that we don't talk about, because you just mentioned the cohesiveness and mm-hmm. the closeness of the Sacramento Kings team in year one. And, you know, where could they be in year 2, 3, 4, 5? And when we talk about the arc of the Denver Nuggets that's leading to this moment tonight where they, you know, start their journey to play for an NBA championship, mm-hmm. you mentioned the Jamal Murray ACL tear. Didn't mention, you know, the various injuries Michael Porter has gone through. You know, Michael Porter said, you know, yesterday, I see all of this extra work that these guys are doing to get better. I have to do all of that work just to stay healthy. Mm. He says, I was reading it. I wasn't hearing it. So I want to be careful how I interpret this. But, man, like, I wouldn't blame him if he was almost saying it with, like, a level of resentment. Mm. Like, it's hard for me, because I can imagine his thought is, it's hard for me to work on my game to get better when I'm working on my body just to be on the floor. And he's done a magnificent job. Like, he's a solid ball player. You only kind of hit the what if button when you recognize it wasn't DeAndre Ayton, wasn't Luka Doncic, wasn't Trae Young. It was him.
Yeah.
That was his draft.
Yeah.
And it injuries derailed that. Like, I'll never forget the scene of watching him so gingerly trying to walk on the stage and have his moment. And that's a credit to the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets were in a position where they could take that risk. They could give him time, and they can let that all work out because they had a team good enough to survive without him. Mm-hmm. But those are the hiccups for a team at this point. And while in theory, it's great to think, yo, where is this Sacramento Kings team going to be in year two or year three or year four when all of these guys really are, you know, locked into this team long term? We don't have to worry about Jokic anymore. De'Aaron's going to get his third contract. Malik would have signed an extension by then. You know, Keegan's entering his second contract. And you've got, you know, you've got this core group that you feel really good about. Well, that's cool until there's a monkey wrench thrown in it. For, you know, Denver, it was the constant setbacks for Michael Porter. For Denver, it was the ACL injury. For Jamal Murray, you know, the slow return. All of this is happening as Nikola Jokic, and we'll talk more about this later, is going through this incredible physical transformation that's turning him into a two-time MVP, and arguably the best player in professional basketball right now.
Right.
There are hiccups that come with the journey. The journey isn't going to be perfect. It feels like, and this can all trace back to your remark nearing the end of the regular season, where it was like, enjoy how you feel right now, enjoy this moment, because you're never going to feel like this again. Mm-hmm. Kings could be completely healthy next year, but you're going to feel different. Like, the ups and downs are part of the process. This season for the Sacramento Kings felt like up, up, up. I'd argue it didn't really hit a down until the third quarter of the Game 7. That's where it was like, oh, all right, this is tough. Because this is where it's coming to an end. And that's not really a down. That's the end.
Right.
It's different. But there's going to be setbacks. There's going to be things that stall the process. The key is to ignore the Athletic article from John Hollinger that says Mike Brown is on the hot seat. Mm-hmm. The key is to ignore the trade proposals that include Keegan Murray or Domantas Sabonis, right, or De'Aaron Fox. The key is to, and I'm not talking about us as fans or media people. I'm talking about Monty.
That locker room.
Yeah, I'm talking about that locker room. I'm talking about that front office. I'm talking about Monty. I'm talking about Wes. I'm talking about all those guys. Setbacks are going to come. It's how you respond to those that's going to determine whether you're going to have an ability to play for the NBA Finals. I'd argue if the Denver Nuggets let those setbacks, even one of them, get the best of them. Mm-hmm. And you point the finger at Michael Malone, they're not here.
I agree.
Not here.
And I believe maybe it's pie in the sky, whatever. I don't know. I believe the infrastructure is here in Sacramento to be able to replicate that.
Mm-hmm.
Replicate that type of mentality. Mm-hmm. Who knows if they have that type of success. But I believe they have that type of mentality, the type of work ethic to go along with that mentality to continue to get better. I think it's their form. I really do. I look at De'Aaron Fox. He's a hell of a ball player. I look at Sabonis, he's a hell of a ball player. Keegan Murray, if he doesn't get any better, is still a damn good ball player. And that's great. That's like, I feel like that's, you know, being really conservative with your outlook for Keegan Murray. Let's just say he don't get any better. He stays the same player for the next 5 years. That's still pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a guy that's shooting 41% from beyond the arc at 6'9", 6'10". You know, that's really good. We all think he's going to improve. I'd bet money that he's going to improve as a ball player. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with his game. But you talk about all those components for the Kings. You got Mike Brown, who I'm a believer. I'm a believer in him with this team.
Mm-hmm.
You put all those components, I don't think they're going to let any of the outside noise distract them. They didn't let any of the outside noise distract them this year. It was different noise.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't trade speculation or this guy should be gone or anything like that. It was more doubt, like, oh, they're not that good. They're not that good.
Gonna light the beam right out the first round.
Right, right.
Weakest three seed in history.
They didn't let any of that distract them. They were always ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, get down 3-2. They lose game five at home. They were ready to go game six in Golden State, mm-hmm. where nobody gave them an opportunity to win that game. So I do believe that they're tough enough, man. I do. I think this group is the right group to be able to have this type of success in the future.
Watching Jokic, and that's you know, the important, that's where I just look at, I look at so many of the moves Phoenix made. Mm-hmm. And as much as I really like Kevin Durant and Chris Paul, and I have an appreciation for Devin Booker, I think they made a mistake.
Mm.
I understand it's Kevin Durant. Mm. I absolutely understand it's Kevin Durant. I get why, and no matter what direction you go, it's a risk. There's no, I'm not trying to frame this as if this was an easy decision for whether it's the ownership group or the front office, whoever was the, you know, the spearhead behind that deal, and all indications are it was the new owner, which I guess I understand. I don't think Phoenix is winning. I mean, you traded a lot of your depth. You traded some really key components. You could argue, and I think you and I have, that Mikal Bridges could potentially be a bigger star away from Phoenix than he was with Phoenix, and could be a better player away from Phoenix than he was with Phoenix, just because of the way that team was already made up without Kevin Durant. But you made, that's a drastic change. Yeah. And then you decide Monty can't see us through this. Okay, so you make another drastic change. And it's like, so what is your expectation? To walk in and win a championship next year with that group? That's tough for me. Again,
I
understand it's Kevin Durant, but that's your expectation? That's hard for me. That's tough for me. I can't see it.
Hmm.
I can't see it.
I can see them winning a championship.
Now that's as constructed. Maybe there are some changes coming here after the next head coach. Let me ask you this, because he's the butt of jokes. I like him. I think you like him. But he is the butt of jokes, and I know he's a finalist. If it's Doc Rivers, how are you feeling about that Phoenix team?
I'm not feeling worse. You know, I think Doc is a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's gonna have success with that group. He's gonna have them ready to make a playoff run.
Yeah, they will make a run to the playoffs.
Well, they'll be. I mean, like in the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
Now, will they be able to execute it? I don't know. But they got Doc. Like I think some people might look at it as if they signed Doc, they'd be like, oh, it's not going to happen for them. No, I don't feel that way.
I don't either. I just don't know that I feel differently.
I don't feel differently. But we feel differently about Phoenix. I could see them winning a title. And if they got Doc, I could still see them winning a title.
Okay. How?
Kevin Durant stays healthy. Chris Paul stays healthy.
Mm. But you hear that though?
Stays healthy. When I say that, I mean in the playoffs. That's also crazy.
Okay.
To think of for Chris Paul.
Yeah.
As well, but not being the play-in. But if you're fourth, fifth, sixth seed,
mm-hmm.
and you get to the playoffs healthy, I think they can make a run.
Okay.
Just better hope they don't play the Kings.
Well, of course not, because they're not going to be an eight seed. Phoenix is not going to be an eight seed, so like it's fine.
I always like doing this because we don't even know who's on the teams.
No clue.
But
yeah, no clue.
Right now, I would have Phoenix as a top four seed next year.
Okay. Well, let's play the game then.
I'm thinking
let's...
Denver.
Okay.
I'm putting Sacramento in there. I'm not saying, you know, in order, but Denver, Sacramento, Phoenix.
Well, I'm fine with that being the order, by the way.
No, that's not, ain't nothing wrong with that.
I don't think that's a burning hot take, but go ahead.
And I think four is between the Lakers, Warriors, and Grizzlies. And I kind of begrudgingly put the Grizzlies in there.
You left out that you didn't mention the LA team. I thought you were going to mention.
No, I can't. I don't think they're going to be a top four seed next year.
Okay.
They might.
Okay. Why?
Because they're not gonna stay healthy.
How is that different than Phoenix though?
Because now when the Clippers don't stay healthy. I don't want to say there's nobody behind them.
It's in game 10. Right?
But even then, I don't want to say there's nobody behind them.
Yeah.
But when Phoenix doesn't stay healthy, and what we're really talking about is Kevin Durant and Chris Paul, you're still got Booker and Ayton. And I think that can get you through some nights compared to, no disrespect to this man, but Russ and Zubac.
Okay.
When the Clippers... when they lose Paul George and Kawhi Leonard for 3 weeks, they in a rough spot.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix is in a rough spot too when they lose Chris Paul or Kevin Durant for 3 weeks. But at least you got Devin Booker still there.
Yeah.
And DeAndre Ayton.
You know what? And Jesse's reminding us. You know what we kind of glossed past, and we did it. I don't think we would have done this if he was on the phone, but because he was in person, it was clearly a topic he probably wasn't going to get too far into. But remember what Chris Haynes said about the Clippers and the Suns.
Mm-hmm.
That the Suns might be trying to get their hand. I don't think he said might. He said the Suns trying to get their hands on Ty Lue.
Yeah, he said they holding out, and he said there's some funny situations.
I don't know what he. Yeah, and that was kind of the. That was the benefit of Chris being in studio that day is you could look at him and know, okay, that's what we're going to get from this. Like, we're not going to get much more like, hey, what's the funny situation? What's going on down there? But it's because the Clippers haven't hired anybody. Obviously, Toronto. I think Toronto is still in the process. They're still interviewing. You know, they're still going through their process. Based on what Chris told us, like, the Phoenix might actually be waiting.
No disrespect to anybody that's in consideration for Toronto, especially our guy Jordy Fernandez, but I think they're in two different situations. Phoenix is big game fishing, and Toronto is looking for a young guy to probably build.
It sounds like it. Yeah. The tough part about that situation for the whatever coach they wind up hiring is it's not even a team in transition. It's just kind of a team in flux. It's like just there. Okay, where are we going?
Yep.
Phoenix isn't necessarily, Phoenix isn't a where are we going. Phoenix is how are we getting there? Because you know their destination is clear and it's within sight. Toronto said this earlier. All teams have the same destination. It's just how clear is your path there?
Right.
Toronto's, you talk about setbacks and all of that stuff. Like, Toronto's, that's a tough path for them, to get there. But they have a roster. They have pieces, whether you choose to keep them or to turn them into something else. They have pieces that work.
Yeah.
Phoenix is fascinating because even in the Ty Lue situation, we throw this around. It doesn't happen very often. Are we talking about a trade? you going to trade the Clippers for Ty Lue?
Has there been one of those in the NBA?
Doc was traded.
Yeah.
He's not the only one. He might be the most recent, but he's not the only one. I feel like I was just looking this up. I might have looked it up right after Chris said it. Like, who's been what coaches have been traded? It's not a lot though. And I'm stalling because five?
Damn. I'm looking up the names right now, but it's been five.
Wow.
Oh. I wouldn't be able to name them.
Doc is the only one that comes to my mind now.
Well, Doc was a very public one, or very not a public one. They're all public. It was a very loud one. Can't imagine Steve Clifford being traded for.
Mike Dunleavy Sr. was traded from the Lakers to the Bucks for 2 second-rounders. Pat Riley went from the Knicks to the Heat.
I knew that one. Damn it. I knew that one.
I got a guess.
All right, go ahead.
Is Vinny Del Negro in there?
No, sir.
What?
Okay. I thought he had a Clippers.
The Bulls
situation.
So
we got Doc. So that's three. Do you guys have guesses for the two others?
I think they just fired him, if I remember.
Yeah, that's
right.
They're after. They're post 2005 too. That'll help.
Post 2005 coaches that have been traded.
There's two of them. I guess we can go from 2007 and on.
2007 and on, man. Any guesses in the chatty house? What coaches have been traded for besides Doc Rivers? We got Mike Dunleavy. Who is the third one that you mentioned?
Pat Riley.
Oh, Pat Riley. That's right. The Knicks Heat situation, which I think there were sanctions for that one, if I remember. But
is Larry Brown in there?
No, sir.
Phil Jackson.
All right. No, we're going to break actually in a minute. So. Oh. Stan Van in 2007 was traded from the Heat to the Magic.
Wow, I wouldn't have got that.
Wow, that's crazy. Pat Riley fired, sent Stan Van Gundy home, and then traded for him. Goodness gracious.
The chat is saying Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd was traded from the Nets to the Bucks for 2 second rounders.
I don't remember.
Good call.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good call right there, Chatty House. I forgot about that one.
I guess it happens more.
Well, I mean, that's five, though. That's not a lot. Like, we went
that's
back
four
to
four more than I remember.
We went back to Pat Riley. The Jason Kidd one was a slip. Like, we should have had that. Sarah Hodges joins us. We'll talk about a variety of different topics with a homie from CBS 13. When dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino, returns here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Streaming live on the Odyssey app.
By the way, I feel like we've been talking about coaches for the last 2 hours. I don't think we mentioned Brad Stevens confirmed Joe Mazzulla's back.
Yes, he should be.
Well, no, it's 100% the right call. But I can't help but wonder if the last three games had played out differently, would he have been back?
If they would have got swept.
If it was 4-0 versus 4-3, would it be different?
Yeah, somebody reasonable would have said, just bring him back.
I feel like that's Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
But he did confirm that Joe Mazzulla will be back.
Joe Mazzulla is just, he's not a happy interviewer.
he's Pop-esque.
I think with Pop, it's a bit. But for better or worse, I'm not excusing it. Like Doris Burke has told us stories about that's not funny. Like you guys might like people will laugh at it. Like there was one and she tells the story that was so bad. She thought it was humiliating, not like degrading, but she thought it was so bad. She went back to her spot. I think this was before she was a full-time analyst. Mm. And she got on put the producer back in the air and was like, "Hey, can we not air that?" And the producer was like, "Don't worry, we got you. We're not going to play that." So, like, I know a lot of people think it's funny. Ever since Doris told us that story, like, it's like this isn't funny to them.
Yeah,
and it's a tough thing to navigate. But to a certain degree, I do think Pop does like this as a bit. Mm. Like he'll say a smart ass remark to the media, and then he'll walk away, and then like 3 seconds later, he'll come back and he'll smile. "Got you guys, didn't I?" And then he'll turn around and leave again. And it's like it's just part of his thing with the media. Joe comes across as a miserable human being. Like I don't know what to say. Like Joe Mazzulla comes across as if like he hates life.
He's really intense. He's like almost not psycho, really, but like intense. He's just really intense.
What's the thing? He watches The Town every day.
The Town. Yeah, I think every day I think or something
come
like
on,
that.
Man. Come on, man.
That's wild. Man. Now I don't know if that's like.
Are we believing this?
Now see, yeah, I don't know if that's like LeBron watching The Godfather every day. But when that story broke, it was like, yo.
Come on, man.
What?
Why are you doing that?
I could see Joe Mazzulla watching The Town. Like, that dude is not crazy, but like, he's intense.
The Town every day, he needs help.
I agree.
He needs help.
Yeah,
I agree. The Town or any movie.
The Town
every day.
A fine movie. But no, you're not. There's no. No.
Town is provocative. It gets people going.
Hit this man a therapist.
Then Brad Stevens also, like, noted too. They're going to probably be looking at, like, vets for the staff and stuff like
that.
Well,
yeah. So that's, and that's the other footnote. While Joe is back, most of his coaching staff is not. Mm-hmm. And that's what we talked about, during the series when, Joe Mazzulla was catching a ton of heat is like stall him out just a little bit, because this is Ime Udoka's coaching staff, and now he's going to have the opportunity to bring in his coaching staff, whatever that might look like. And I'm sure Brad's going to have a strong, you know, a strong say in that, but it'll certainly be something interesting to follow.
You know, you mentioned the sideline reporters in the interviews, and my mom, Shrono Grove, mentioned that over the weekend. I forgot. I think they were talking to Joe Mazzulla. She's like, why do they talk to these people right now?
It's dumb.
I never, like, but on the flip side, I never understand why these professional players and coaches have to be so miserable with these interviews. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, just answer the questions, be pleasant.
It's like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You could do it.
I get them doing that with the Boston media, though, because they're tough.
Well, yeah, but it's not the Boston media that's doing it. It's the national media. You're talking about the TV stuff.
I'm talking about both, though. Like, all the interview commitments.
Boston is miserable.
Maybe so.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah. Maybe if the B talked to me every day, maybe I'd feel different.
Well, we talk to Sarah Hodges every weekend, and we certainly have a blast doing it. As we welcome in our big homie from CBS 13, sports reporter.
Hey,
she does
Mazzulla.
Sideline reporter.
I'm about to say, Joe Mazzulla better not have that type of attitude with our girl Sarah Hodges. We got to run.
Sarah
would go off. Like, Sarah wouldn't have it. Like, Sarah would be like, well, see, hey, check yourself, Joe.
But here's the thing, though. And I'm sorry I have to be the one to point this out. It was pointed out on the internet a few weeks ago. When you send someone like Sarah or Taylor to do an interview, none of these guys are going to be unpleasant.
It's getting wild.
Not only will they smile and they talk, they'll probably start lying. They'll just start telling lies.
What did Jalen say? They're going to win five? He wants to win five.
He's like, we're going to win like 5-6 championships. Bro, we only won one.
Well, that was Ja talking about. Oh, we got it good. Well, we good in the West. Just out
we
there
good
lying.
In the West.
We just out there lying to Taylor Rooks. That's what it is. That's what Sarah would do. She get all
be
these
different energies.
She get all these dudes.
Energy.
She got every River Cat in Republic like just lying to her. Have you ever had a tough like sideline interview during a broadcast?
I haven't had like a tough sideline interview, but I have had like players, I won't say any names, be just like try to like big time me or act too big, you know, and like kind of turn me down and stuff, but nothing like where somebody's been like flat out rude to me. I've actually been lucky in that sense. I haven't had any of that. And usually if I'm interviewing these coaches or players, like I know them, right? Like I have some type of relationship with them. So they know me, we're cool, right? But I have had like one player, and it kind of like hurt my feelings a little bit, I'm not going to lie. But for your team, Kenny.
What?
I was in the locker room and a certain person. So basically what happens after a game, if you do podium, then you're not obligated to have to, you know, do locker room talks, like interview no scrums, right? So, and it's like you obviously with COVID, things have changed in the NBA. It used to just be scrum always in the NBA, but we're talking football and this is how it's pretty much always been, at least as long as I've been covering pro sports. Coach goes to podium, let's say like Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, a few other key players go to podium, and then they don't have to talk at all inside the locker room. They can if they want to, but I was going up to this certain player to introduce myself because I had met this person through a friend on FaceTime, and just to say, hey, like, I'm her, you know, my friends, you know, such and such. And he looks at me, he's like, I'm going to podium. And I was like, oh, well, I wasn't even trying to interview you. So I was just trying to introduce myself.
That damn,
like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't assume. You just like, oh, hey, what's going on? And then when you ask, you're like, oh, unfortunately, I'm going to podium. Like, I'm not doing, you know, and I felt like, you know what? F that person.
Yeah, I don't know why they got to behave that way. Like, and you see it, I think more times than not, everybody's nice. But, you know, they feel, and maybe it's an individual thing. Like, I'm just a different individual, different person. I don't want to put all athletes in there. But it's such a chore for them to answer two questions. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, why?
It's like
why is
literally
it
part of your job.
Yeah. You paid handsomely to answer two questions. And they ask you questions. They don't even expect you to give you like a real answer. You could say both teams play
anything.
Hard. And they'd be like, okay. All right.
And like, I don't know. I mean, there are like, obviously you want to ask some tough questions, right? Because your fans want to know, but like, usually I keep it, you know, I'm not going to just try to embarrass you or anything, or I'm just not like that. Like, I'm not even that type of, like, I care about people more than I care about breaking any news or being the first to deliver. Like, I could be cool on, in the background. I could be telling the person who's saying, I broke it, the story. And like, I mean, obviously I'm not going to go that far, but I'm just saying, like, I could literally care less. Like, I care more about building a relationship with you and building trust and knowing that, like, hey, you need me, I need you, whenever, like, more than I care about, you know, breaking the story first. Or I wouldn't even want to make anybody look bad, because life is hard enough. Mm-hmm. You already know, besides what we do, what you guys do on this radio show, preparing, just in life in general, it's hard. You want to make somebody's life more hard, more difficult?
Yeah, that's like, why you didn't hear from me Saturday. Well, that's why I was like, oh, man, it took me 15 hours to respond to Sarah's text. That is a terrible look. I didn't even, I was so embarrassed I didn't respond to the group text. I was like, I'm going to text Sarah privately. This is embarrassing.
Hey, you have a good track record. So if you're not answering me, it's for good reason. And I know that. So whatever you went through, you know, I love you.
When I love you back. And when Sarah is finishing her 4 a.m. workout and she's sipping up her coffee and she opens up the laptop and she reads this Jimmy Garoppolo story.
Oh, yeah.
What is Las Vegas Raider fan Sarah Hodges' response to the Jimmy Garoppolo story?
The part of him not being at OTAs.
All of it. The OTAs, the surgery, the injury, the waiver, the Tom Brady speculation. Tom Brady said, by the way, today, I'm certain I'm not coming back to play football.
That's what I was most hurt about. I don't give a crap about Jimmy G. I already figured all that. I already knew all that. When I saw Tom Brady just shut down the rumors, I'm like, oh, guess I'm not going to watch the Raiders this year.
Oh, man.
You ready?
Figures. Like, this is nothing new, right? Like, we already knew. Like, this was my issue with them picking up Jimmy in the first place. So, you know, you guys follow me on Close Friends, but I posted something the other day where, like, when a Leo said, like, I told you so, or you were right, and a Leo was like, I told you so. Like, that's just, like, how I feel about this situation with Jimmy G. Like, I told you so. You could have just asked me. Are you guys hearing the knocking right here going on in my backyard or no? Because I feel like you guys can hear everything. Okay, good.
No.
The only thing I hear sometimes is Kenny's really loud computer. Like, Kenny got this computer that... No, it's not right now.
Oh.
It's fine. But when your fan hits, man, that Kenny, here's a throwback. Kenny went into Best Buy and said, give me the loudest computer you got. But no, you all good over there. See,
oh, yeah, when Sarah, it did with the fan. Yeah, I know what you do.
Sarah got construction. She's probably getting the pool put in the background.
I wish. My brother's back there painting something for me. He's in town for a few days. So he's like, oh, let me handle a couple things around your house for you.
You put him to work? He out here in town? You put him to work?
He volunteers.
Well, not going to tell him.
He has his little kids here, and I, his daughter came and slept with me. So I, you know, she wakes up a couple times a night, try to give him a little bit of a break. So I got broken sleep so they could enjoy a little bit more of a peaceful night, you know. It's a give and take in this relationship.
Where is your family, like, from?
Southern California. That's kind of why I see them often. Like, sometimes my brother, if he's, because he works construction, so when he's in between jobs, he'll bring sometimes, like, he has four kids, but he brought the two youngest this time. But he'll come up and they'll stay, you know, a week, 4 days, 2 days, however long he can. So I try to see my family at least once a month. I haven't seen him since December, though, since Christmas. We all got a place together, and I haven't seen him since then, so it was time.
It's a family affair. It's been too long, man. Gotta see the bro, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.